Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Woo. Feel the power of God already. Get ready. I'm going to move this down. There's a reason for that for later. Here we go. Just getting ready here. I just want to say this. Man, since this morning, since being in the prayer room, what TJ was sharing, all of the songs we're singing, what Scripture Fallon just read, God is speaking this morning. And He doesn't just have words for your head. He wants to impart Himself to your heart. Jesus always goes for the heart. The Father always goes for the heart. And He is on the move. And He has been, if you've been catching it, releasing Himself, touching hearts. But if that hasn't happened yet, I believe even as I'm preaching today, I've always had this desire, but more so today. Yeah, I pray you would hear what I believe God has fed me with, and I want to feed you with what He's fed me. But as I'm speaking, if the Holy Spirit begins, the Father begins to touch you by the Holy Spirit, I say, go with it. Go with Him. And I believe during the service, the Holy Spirit is going to touch people even while you're sitting, without laying on of hands, without an altar call. So I just say, open your heart right now. Open your heart. Have your way, as we sang earlier. Have your way. Even right now in your heart, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. And I'm okay if you begin to laugh or something begins to happen and Jesus begins to touch you. If you've been in my VSSM class or even Wednesday night, I get nervous when you're quiet. I feel way more confident when the Lord is touching you, because I'm like, that's the whole reason I'm here, is so Jesus can encounter you. I need to get out of the way so He can have the way. And that's my prayer today. Let's do some declarations together. Does that sound good? From the heart, not the head. I'm going to say it and you can repeat. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. A few of you are getting it. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're the King of hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're touching hearts. Okay, you want to do just a couple more here? Here we go. And let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. And we'll end it with this. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Yes, Father, we thank You. This morning, You are the echo of our days. May You reverberate. May You speak loudly. May Your kingdom come, Your will be done in us right now. For me on stage, for those in their seats, for everyone who hears my voice, Your voice coming through my voice, I pray Your kingdom would come, Your will be done. We love You, Jesus. I thank You that You're going to be restoring joy this morning, that You are Mr. Joy, and so many are going to leave here today overflowing in Your joy. Thank You that there's those here that need Your perfect peace, for You are the Prince of Peace. And I thank You many are going to leave today knowing You as the God of peace. And I thank You many You want to fill with Your jealous, holy love. And I thank You that many are going to leave today filled with Your love. Let it be so by Your power, by Your word, by Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you ready for the word? I thought we would just dive in the word. I don't have an opening story or anything like that. I feel like we need to go right in the word. Okay. Hold up your Bible if you have it. And if it's a cell phone, yeah. Are you thankful for the word of God? I'm so thankful for the word of God. I believe every time we read the word, especially when we have an open heart, Holy Spirit is hovering over the scripture, ready to convict, ready to reveal the Father, ready to give revelation. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. I'm using the New King James Version today. There'll be other texts today, but this is kind of the main story that I felt was on my heart. And we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 40. And I'm just going to read through it, and then we're going to kind of chew upon it and slow down and eat. Okay, so we're kind of seeing the whole meal, and then we're going to eat the meat slowly in the different courses. Okay, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's continue to chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So then, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The word of the Lord. Okay, I want to just kind of start by going through this passage a little bit here. Does that sound good? The feast on the word. Okay, so back to verse 40 in Luke chapter 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on them, and every one of them was healed. How many were healed? How many were healed? All. Didn't we sing this morning the healing of all diseases? Right? Jesus is fulfilling, I believe, many scriptures, but Psalm 103, I believe it's verse 3, forgetting all of his benefits, who heals ALL diseases. Do we believe that this morning?
Yes.
Is there any disease Jesus can't heal? Amen. Okay. And demons, notice healing, and this is throughout the Gospels. It's not like we have healings over here, and then way pages later, Jesus talks about demons. A lot of times, they're in the same sentence. And what else happens when the power of God is present? Demons also came out of many, crying and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Not only does he heal all diseases, when the kingdom of God shows up by the power of the Holy Spirit, diseases are healed, but demons come flying out of people. And notice here, Jesus rebuked them. He wasn't going to give them the time of day. He didn't even want them to talk about who he was. He didn't want to go down that distraction, that deceit, that fear. And that's just a cue there if you're dealing with demons and God's calling you into that kind of ministry. He rebukes. He puts them in their place. Because they have only one place to go, and that's out, okay? Okay, moving on. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Say, deserted place. Yeah, you might say this. I believe this was like Jesus' prayer closet. In Luke 5:16, the next chapter, it says, Jesus would often continually on a regular basis withdraw to lonely places to pray. This was a lifestyle of Jesus. He would go away to be with the Father and experience the Holy Spirit in relationship. So here he is taking this time, but Jesus was sought after. Would you say Jesus was a little sought after? Just a little bit? No. He was at the time, and I believe, man, John says, we don't even have time to write all that he did. Imagine the most sought after man. And so everyone comes to him, and they came to him, and they tried to keep him from leaving. They're like, we're healed. Demons came out. We're set free. Don't you leave. Don't go. But what does Jesus say? I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. I want you to say, this purpose. Say it again, this purpose. Man, purpose, isn't it important to know our purpose? Don't we starve, feel empty when we don't have a sense of purpose? And let me say, you can be a spirit-filled son or daughter, loved, you know you're saved, and still lack purpose. And I feel like some of today, maybe a lot of today, is speaking to you. So if you're here and you're like, man, I came in this morning to church, I want to be here, I love Jesus, but man, I feel like I've lost my purpose. I feel like that's something, the joy of having a purpose. I feel like it's one of the things Jesus wants to restore this morning, that every one of you, no matter of age, life situation, male or female, young or old, you have a purpose. A purpose is the reason for getting up, the reason for expending your energy. Why do I exist? What's the purpose in everything I do? What's the main point of it all, right? How many of you have done jobs or been in a job and your purpose wasn't defined and you die inside? Anyone been there? What you're supposed to do, a greater purpose is never the picture's never painted, and so you just feel like you're toiling. And you're just going through the motions, right? Without vision, the people perish. Here at Valley, we believe purpose is so important that it's right. Pastor Lynn got this from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Our vision, mission statement is to equip and empower every one of you to fulfill your purpose in Christ. That assumes a belief that you all have a purpose, right? And the scripture says, and God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to whose purpose? His purpose. So Jesus had a sense of purpose. I mean, it's right here. He says, I have a purpose. That's why I need to go. I believe Jesus found joy in this. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. A huge part, if not the culmination of his whole journey was to go to the cross, and for the joy set before him, because he had purpose. He had purpose from the Father. Okay, let's move on to chapter 5 here. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I am not the best fisherman. We've done some men's events over the years, and I've essentially caught nothing. My son Parker, he caught 7 one time. Louis, expert fisherman. John Wolf's not that bad himself. But if you know anything about fishing, this command of Jesus would have been startling. Because what did Peter and the disciples just do? They had been fishing all night. Jesus, Peter could have said, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, and maybe he'd have a right to say that. But how many of you know Jesus likes to disrupt things? The kingdom of God isn't always clean and orderly. We want revival, do we? I heard a yes. Jesus, bring revival. There might be some laughter. There might be some rolling. There might be some shaking. Or anything else Jesus wants to do. It's his prerogative, how he comes. And so God loves to turn the tables upside down. He loves to disrupt things, right? In a good way, right? How many of you are thankful for the Lord's disruption in your life? When you weren't seeking him, he found you. When you didn't even want him, someone shared Jesus with you. When you didn't want to go to church, someone invited you and you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Woo! Jesus. You know, he is, and let me say, behind all this, Jesus is wild, the Father's wild, but you know who's the really wild one? Holy Spirit. And that's where I'm going to be going with some of this today, is the wild Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not tame. Holy Spirit's wild, okay? So let's keep going here. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Toiled. I looked up that word, toiled. If I feel a word's highlighted and I want to go, I think there's more here. If the Spirit ever nudges you, that's the best way to go to the Greek or the Hebrew, is you feel a little desire. This is how I do it. I'm not there studying Greek all day. That's boring. I don't do that. But when I feel a little nudge, I go, my heart wants to know what toil meant because I think it relates to me. And God has something for me. That's a little tip right there. It's great to go to the Greek. If you don't know how to do that, come to me afterwards or on a Wednesday night. I'll show you. It's easy. All these resources are online. So I went to the Greek, and this is what it said. Worn out, depleted, grow weary, exhausted. And it's not just necessarily a physical thing. How many know our bodies and our souls are connected? He was discouraged. He had toiled all night and had nothing to show for his best efforts. Anyone been there? Maybe in ministry, maybe in marriage, maybe with kids, maybe with your job, and you feel like you're toiling and you just come up empty-handed. I think this sense of weariness, worn out, depleted, and exhausted, even for us as Christians, Spirit-filled believers, I think it's okay to say sometimes this comes upon us. Okay? It's come upon me. Prophet Harkey said, you know, when he was prophesying over me and my wife in that room years ago, he says, you know, she was the one who told you, my being my wife, and now you have your dream job. And I do believe I have my dream job. I do. I'm so thankful. I give thanks so regularly that I get to be under Pastor Lynn and to be on this dream team staff and to do what we get to do. I am so thankful. But even with that, this can creep in. This sense of feeling depleted and worn out. Let's get real here. You can be in the perfect center of the will of God and even experience this. Okay? I mean, there's times in the last couple months I felt this come on. Worn out, weary, exhausted. And I want to speak to that. And if you're not watchful, a sense of exhaustion, emptiness, and a sense of feeling purposeless, no purpose, can creep in. And in this state, I'll tell you, the enemy loves to pounce on you. The enemy's like, I got him or her right where I want them. And this can be an open door, I believe, in our life an open door. What do I mean by open door? Let me define that. Sin is no joke. Sin isn't just no joke because God's holy. Although that's the main reason. He's holy, and we are created in the image of a holy God. So when we sin, we don't live into our image and likeness, and everything unravels in our life. That's what happened at the fall, but it's been happening ever since. Okay? But sin's also an issue because sin can be an open door to demonic spirits. And I'll tell you, I have had a fear of the Lord for a long time, a sense of, I mean, a call of holiness in my life. It's been prophesied. You, Matthew, especially, are called to holiness and righteousness. I believe that's a huge reason God put me with Pastor Lynn, who carries that in strong measure. But it wasn't until I dealt with the demonic and these open doors, realizing sin isn't just sin. You might be opening a door to the demonic. That's when my fear of sin, like fear of the Lord, not biting my nails. I'm talking awe, right? So let me compare the two fears, because I know we got a mixed audience here. Some of you are new to this. There's the fear of the enemy and of the demonic realm, which is biting your nails, scared, insecure, not sure what's going to happen. I'm afraid for my safety. Then there's the Yaira, there's the fear of the Lord, awe. I respect you. I'm walking on holy ground. I might have to take off my shoes. The best example I can use, if you ever been out in wild and you're just really at peace and you're enjoying yourself and all of a sudden a deer is within 5 feet of you or some big animal, a bear or something else. Immediately, now you might have some fright, some fight or flight, but what I feel right away is this awe come over me like, and you want to be quiet. You don't want to yell. You don't want, especially if it's a safe animal, right? And it can't hurt you. I love stumbling across deer in the wild, okay? That's why I'm not a hunter. I am not one who's going to blast its head off. There are many men in this room that I've never shot a deer. For me, I'm just like, oh, look at the way it moves. It gallops. It's beautiful. There's this, okay. Fear of the Lord. Any of you held a newborn baby or a one-year-old or less, and it's the first time holding it, your own or a grandchild? I don't want to drop it. Oh, you know, there's this awe, right? Let me tell you, I believe the fear of the Lord is a lot more like that versus I'm terrified of God, I'm running away because he's so holy and I'm so worthless. I believe the fear of the Lord is more of an awe and a reverence where I don't want to make me come out because I want to just watch and observe and worship. That's the fear of the Lord. Okay. That wasn't in the notes, but I'm going with Holy Spirit today. Here we go. So the enemy can come in through this feeling of being worn out, depleted, or exhausted. And that is the right time when he offers counterfeit affections. Counterfeit, yes. Pastor Lynn and I have talked about this many times over the years. Counterfeit, what do I mean by counterfeit affections? This morning, we're worshiping and we're singing King of My Heart. And that's all about needs and desires, right? And even Fallon had shared, like, whatever you need or desire. And like anytime we, worship team, pastoral staff, we realize people are coming with needs and desires. That's an amazing thing. That's good, right? But counterfeit affections are finding it in alcohol, finding it in a woman you're not married to, pornography, work success. You know what? I feel worn out and weary, but man, if I just perform more and get that promotion or that thumbs up from my boss, I'm gonna feel better. And let me tell you, when you're in a vulnerable state, it's a place where one, we need to run to the Lord for him to fill us up. Because he has not created you to live a lifestyle of being depleted and worn out. That is not his will for you. He's too good of a father. He paid too high of a price. And he sent a person called Holy Spirit so you wouldn't live depleted, weary, and worn out all the time. So we need to run to the Lord. But if we don't, I find that that's the ideal time where the enemy in my life will say, here's a little morsel, go after this. And we try to fill the void with other things. Okay, let me keep moving here. So he toiled all night, and when they had done this, he says to Jesus, at your word, I will let down the net. And Simon calls him master, but he's not a follower. Part of the reason he probably calls him master is he heard the reputation of the healings, the miracles. His mother-in-law was healed of a fever in the previous chapter. So he's, you know, aware that this guy has authority, okay? And he says, you said it, even though everything in him might want to say, you don't know what you're talking about. I've checked every inch of this lake and there's nothing. And I'm good at what I do. Come on. You don't know, have you ever been there? You don't know what you're talking about. When you're an expert in something and someone tries to tell you to do it in a different way, you're like, you don't know what you're talking about, okay? But nonetheless, Peter has a sense of fear or respect at this point for Jesus. And what happens? He obeys the word of the Lord, I believe, empowered by the Holy Spirit, although it doesn't say it. We know everything Jesus did was by the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit is behind those words, and likely the leading of the word. He probably had a vision from the Father of some fish. I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine. It's good to imagine into the text. Okay? And what happens? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. Not just one boat, we're talking two boatfuls. And then the boats began to sink. Hello, kingdom of God. Jesus is like, I bet he did it. I know, I believe. It doesn't say it in the text, but I don't picture him doing it with a stern. I picture him doing it laughing. This is going to get Peter going. I love him. This is really going to get him going here. He's going to be so overwhelmed in a good way, you know. But notice Peter's response to the grace of God. Away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. You see, in our depleted, discouraged state, something that can come on, not just counter affections, is shame and unworthiness. Let me say this. If you're a child or daughter of God today, you're saved by the blood of Jesus. Shame and unworthiness is not your portion. It is wrong, and can I say it is demonic. Shame, I'm just going to declare this. If you're like, Holy Spirit speaking to me right now, I want you to come up at the end of the service and God wants to deliver you and set you free of shame and unworthiness. And I'm just going to declare, I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing faces of those he's done this for. there's going to be more faces if you're one of those that has shame and unworthiness. He wants to set you free this morning of that. He wants to set you free so you no longer go at the blessing of God, or you see a brother or sister who's walking in the Spirit and you get jealous or envious, but ultimately go, away from me. I don't want to be around them because I'm unworthy and they're flowing in the grace and love of God. We do this. We're tempted with this, but that's not his portion. Obviously, the portion would be God's at work in them. I praise you. I give thanks. God, do it in me. That's a kingdom response. But if you find yourself, and that's okay. If Holy Spirit's convicting you, the good news is he's going to set you free this morning. But if you find yourself envious and jealous and feel unworthy around powerful people, by that I don't mean powerful in the world, I mean powerful in the Spirit, full with the love of God, it could be an indicator you have shame and unworthiness he wants to set you free from. And I've seen him do it so much. He's done it in my life because there's many times I felt shame and unworthy. To stand up here, preach, to do what I do. Oh yeah, I felt that. But Jesus is really good at delivering from that. He's good at setting us free from shame, unworthiness. Those Adam garments. They felt naked not because they were naked. It's because I believe an invisible spirit of shame came over them. That's why they felt naked. And they were ashamed. Okay, moving on here. Let's move there. Okay. So what happens is, I love it, when Peter is in this place of shame and unworthiness, I'm a sinful man, go away from me. That's his response to the grace of God. And that might be yours this morning. And it's okay to be where you're at. But Jesus wants to get you out of that. He says, do not be afraid. Notice how Jesus had the insight to know behind the unworthiness was fear. And let me tell you, often the root thing in our lives behind all of the insecurities is fear. In fact, and if you say it's pride, I go, well, you're only prideful because you're fearful. So is pride the root or fear the root? I think probably ultimately fear. It's the root of hell. That's what hell breathes fear. I've said this before from the pulpit. Heaven breathes love. Hell breathes fear. Two different oxygens, atmospheres. Okay? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. I'm going to give you a purpose beyond just fishing. Nothing against fishing. If fishing's where the kingdom of God's going to break out, then fish. I'm not trying to mock fishing. Those fishermen in the room, thank you for what you do. For the salmon and the halibut. We love it. But earlier, Jesus says, for this purpose, Jesus had purpose. He had joy and purpose from the Father by the Holy Spirit. He was walking as he was created to walk. But he wasn't stingy. His whole plan, his whole desire was to bring others into a purpose. And I love what he says to Peter, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You will catch men. You're going to live for something much higher, Peter. And there's some big catches on the way, but you're going to have to walk with me for a couple years. And I'm going to show you how I function. I'm going to show you my modus operandi in the Father. And then notice verse 11. We'll just end with this, and then I have some other stuff here. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. Say all. Say it again. All. And followed him. Was it the healing of his mother-in-law the day before, a couple days before, maybe, why he forsook all? Was it the amazing manifestation of a miracle with two boatloads? Maybe. But can I propose that what Peter saw and felt was a deep sense of purpose and a man who was flowing with an abundance of love, grace, power, and life. They wanted what he had. They were attracted to it. It was magnetic. It was appealing. And I believe that's why they forsook all. They said, he has purpose. He's overflowing with joy. He knows he's loved and he's giving it away. And it's with power, and I want what he has. And these men forsook all. Doesn't say they had a 10-hour meeting. They had a press conference. They checked the fishing boat log, their accounts. See, when the kingdom of God shows up and we see Jesus, we wanna leave all, right? Don't you wanna leave all? Man, Jesus is amazing. You see, Jesus modeled a life, and this is where I'm heading with this, and I believe Holy Spirit has me going. Jesus modeled a life of being filled and empowered by the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. Jesus lived a life of being filled and empowered by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to go a little quick here. Linda, I believe you can catch up, but just catch it with your heart. Luke 3, 21 through 22. I'm just going to stay in the same book. We won't even go to another book. Jesus did not start his ministry until he was baptized. And Kylan, I believe this is the start for you today, being baptized. It's the start of new things that Jesus has for you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't start until his baptism. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. I want you to say upon. Say upon. If John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit since birth, I believe it's safe to say Jesus was filled with the Spirit since birth. Now, I can't prove that, and theologians can't. But notice, it came upon him. See, I believe the Spirit was already in him, but this is where it came upon him for empowerment and for living his purpose and sharing that with others and loving others in power and authority. Okay? Moving on to Luke 4:1. Just chronologically. Luke 4:1, this is the temptation of Jesus. You can go read the whole story later. But then Jesus being filled, say filled. Filled. Say it again, filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Say led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
Say led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
It's easier to be led when you're filled. It's easier to be led by the Spirit when you take time to be filled with the Spirit. I have found the will of God easier to know and to sense or have a feeling, hear the still small voice, when I have taken more time to be filled. Jesus is modeling. I believe all of this is a buildup as to why men and women, why do they want to follow him? Okay? And then we'll go to Luke 10:21. Ooh. This is good. One of my favorite verses about Jesus. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, or other translations said, was full of joy in the Holy Spirit. Say, full of joy. Jesus, fill me with joy. Jesus, fill me with joy. It's a great prayer. So Jesus was full of joy, and he just starts praying to the Father. I don't want to read the whole prayer. You can read that later, but this is just important to see. Jesus was part of his modeling and his experience with the Father was he was filled with joy. He was filled with joy. Jesus modeled a ministry purpose in life of being filled and spilling out. He was filled and then he was spilled. He was filled and then he was spilled. He was filled and then he was spilled. For 3.5 years, Jesus modeled this lifestyle to the disciples. And he said, before you start your mission and your purpose, although you're finding purpose with me, you're going to have your own mission and purpose, Peter and disciples. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Okay. And then I want to go to Acts 1. Let's go to Acts 1 right here. This is Acts 1, 4 through 8. You can look up or follow along. Okay. Acts 1, 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Say, wait. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Baptized means to be completely immersed, submerged, dunked, dipped. You know, God, first of all, let me say this. Holy Spirit is a person. I know with all the scriptures, it's easy to think he comes in portions, but he comes as a person. And this person of the Godhead wants to immerse you. That's the desire of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Father wants for you. And Jesus paid a high price. He doesn't want you just to have a little drop of knowing him. He wants to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking to those that have been baptized in the Spirit. But let me tell you, he wants you to have a daily experience of immersion of his presence and his nature. He wants you daily dunked. Daily immersed, okay? Acts 2:4, let's go there. So the day of Pentecost comes. We celebrated last week. Pastor Lynn had awesome things last week. I'm just going to share this one verse for now from there. Acts 2:4. What happens? They were all filled. Say filled.
Filled.
In the Greek, it means full to individual capacity. It means full to individual capacity. Whew. Okay, They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And throughout the book of Acts, I won't show you all the examples. They're filled and they prophesy. They filled and they magnify God. They filled and demons come out. Every time they're filled, God's kingdom breaks out. Every time they're filled, God's kingdom breaks out. Okay? Later on in Acts chapter 10, Peter is going to the house of Cornelius, and as he's preaching, and again, he went there because he got a vision from the Lord. Holy Spirit set up the whole thing. You can read this later, but this is the gospel going to the Gentiles, really. It was a huge moment in church history. As he was speaking to Cornelius and his whole house, the Holy Spirit filled and fell on all of them. And it says they spoke in tongues and magnified God. He then says, you all physically need to be baptized. And you know what they do? They compel Peter to stay with them for days. You see, Peter was now at a place, just like Jesus, those people sought him out. Peter was at a place where he was allowing the Holy Spirit. He had relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls, and this whole household goes, Peter, stay with us. And let me tell you, what the world is hungering for is the Father's love poured out by the Holy Spirit. The world is hungering for the Father, a Father who loves them, but who delivers on the goods and pours out his Spirit so you can experience Jesus and the Father in relationship, in your very body, from body, soul, to spirit. No other counterfeit affection will satisfy the heart of man. $10 billion, any spouse you can imagine, any drug, any work success or accomplishment will never satisfy the heart of man. Only the Father's love poured into hearts by the Holy Spirit will satisfy the hearts of man. Is there anything else that'll satisfy? No. You know, sometimes I felt worn out and depleted, and I've brought this to Jesus. You know what he said to me? I believe this is what he said. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but this is what I heard. Will you let me fill you and spill you, Matthew? Matthew, the purpose of your life is to be filled and spilled. Don't make it more complicated than that. I'm analytical, if you know me. I sometimes, you know, part of that I think is a teaching gift. As Pastor Lynn is, sometimes I think too much, and he's helped me with that over the years. And a lot of times he's just like, just take a drink. I think he've used those exact words, or like a pump. He's just like, he's in you, he loves you. You don't need to search and pray for 10 hours. Matthew, just take a drink. Take a drink. He's here, he loves you. And I'll just say that right now, take a drink. He's here, Holy Spirit's here. He loves you. Just take a drink. I'm going to take a drink. You can. Here we go. He doesn't have drops of love for you and joy. He wants you filled to capacity. Colton, would you get ready? Would you get ready, Colton? I have a little thing here to visualize this. Some of you have seen this before if you've been in my classes. The Spirit is a person, and we don't get 30% of the Spirit, 40%, 72%. And I love what Jonah shared I'm recently to the VSSM students. It's not about getting more of Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit getting more of you. That was a word given through Jonah, and man, it's not about you getting more of Holy Spirit. It's about Holy Spirit getting more of you. Okay? What does it look like to invest in your relationship? Say relationship. Holy Spirit is not gas in your tank. Now, maybe you can use that analogy, but I think it falls short because it's not relational. Holy Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 13, 14, it says we have a fellowship or a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay? You know, let me demonstrate. This is what I believe the whole purpose of your life is. If you're a teacher, this is what he wants for you. If you're a construction worker, this is what he wants for you. If you're into investing funds for other people or an insurance agent, this is what he has for you, okay? So sometimes when we spend time with God, we listen to a worship song, we connect a little, and then we run on with our day. So if you want to pour some. So that's how much we've given of ourselves, right? This is more about us giving of ourselves, right? But you know, we say, you know, Jesus, I love worshiping you. I'm going to worship a little longer. Jesus, man, I love you so much. I just want to stay here. And you feel the Holy Spirit just drawing you. Like, I don't know. I just want to soak a little longer in your presence. And as your relationship grows, he brings you to a point where you're like, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to know you and I want all of you in all of me. And we just go for it, the whole thing there, Colton's. And we soak in his presence in the secret place and we say, God, be who you want to be. I love you. Speak to me. Fill me. And then God begins to prepare people in your path who are not saved, who need deliverance, who need a smile and a hug, and that God will bring them to you and they will receive of the overflow. Isn't this guy handsome and amazing? Can we give a clap for this amazing man? Thank you so much. Yeah. Here, take a drink. You go for it. Yeah. And it's still spilling out. Let me tell you, we can complicate what's the purpose of my life. That's the purpose of your life. What's the purpose of my life? Am I called to a prophet or an evangelist or as a healing ministry? All great things to desire. The scripture says desire them. But let me tell you, when you get so full of God and you allow him through intimacy to fill you, he will move you into the will of God. The gifts will flow. The grace will flow. He'll put people in your path. And if you start having people in your path who need deliverance, maybe that's where the grace needs to flow in your life. But you don't need to go and seek it out because you're just seeking him. Fill me, Lord. Let me know you, Lord. Saturate me. Immerse me and disperse me. These are my new prayers lately. Dear Father, I have this going on, and then I don't know how that's going to work out. Blah, 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 blah. He simplified it. Matthew, yes, Father, can I immerse you and disperse you? Yes, Lord, amen. Can I fill you and spill you? Can I edify so you can prophesy? I mean, you can say it in a million ways, but it's the same reality. This is the will of God for your life. And I'll tell you, this brings you out of exhaustion, depletion, and toil. This is the abundant life. It's not just what we receive, it's what we get. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pull this up. Acts 20, 35, I think it is. Woo! Okay, I'm going to preach myself drunk. Here we go. Acts 20, 35. It's red letter in Acts. There's a lot of red letters in Acts, even though Jesus wasn't on the scene. And Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And let me tell you, there is a blessing in receiving. And if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm depleted, I'm worn out, he wants you to receive of himself. But then he wants you to receive so much, he begins to overflow, and you know the blessing of giving, of being spilled out. Amen. Holy Spirit is wild. Pentecost, wind comes, a sign of the Holy Spirit. Then there's fire. Wind's mysterious, fire's mysterious. And then they're accused of being drunk. Wine can be mysterious, right? What am I saying with this? I wanna give some practicals here. When I start experiencing intimacy with Holy Spirit, it started for me with wind or breath. And I remember doing door-to-door sales like 10 years ago, and Holy Spirit was speaking to me this. It was August, early August, late July of 2014. And I'm already baptized, but I'm still learning to have friendship with the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to fill me and to move upon my life. And all I felt was the Holy Spirit was saying, I'm like breath. Even spirit in the scripture means breath. Same word. You can translate it either way. So I said, Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your breath in me. And I'm just gonna become aware that this isn't just physical breath that I'm feeling, but it's actually your spirit. That's all it was. And I felt the breath of God begin to build within me, build within me, build within me. And that day I'd been meditating on the biblical character of Sarah and how Sarah was just so fruitful and God opened her womb. And I don't know why, but that's where Holy Spirit had me. And I was going door to door and I had all these houses, and off to the right, I wrote Sarah just so I can meditate while I'm looking up addresses on that and talk with Jesus. And I'm filled with the breath of God. I remember knocking on a door and a woman came to me and says, I have cable one. I don't want what you have. I don't want CenturyLink, but it was 95 degrees out. She's like, I'll be right back. And I said, Holy Spirit, what's going on? And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, she's gonna receive you and you are a messenger for me. And she's gonna bless you with a cup of water and you're gonna bless her back. And the Lord said, I'm gonna bless her back. She comes back with a huge Gatorade, cold Gatorade. And not many people had gotten me a Gatorade. It was water occasionally, but this was a Gatorade. And she didn't even buy any services and was so kind. And I knew she knew the Lord. I could just feel it on her. And I just said, is your name Sarah? She said, yeah. And I said, God, you love the Lord. Recently, you've been doing like a laundry list of things to do. And it's taken maybe a little away from your intimacy, but the Lord's like, I love our intimacy because I, like Sarah, have rippling effects. Like I can do through intimacy miracles like I did in Sarah's life above anything you could ever think of. And he loves you so much. I was so nervous. The first time I really ever prophesied, I had to close my eyes. I open them up and she's just crying. She's like, I love helping people. I'm actually going through a laundry list of that neighbor over there of all these things I'm helping her with and I'm getting stressed. And she's like, she just started weeping and says, I want to be back with Jesus. Like I want to spend, and that doesn't mean she's going to stop serving. It's just, it called her back to intimacy. And she just looked at me and she said, thank you for allowing God to fill you. Thank you for spending time with him today. Because there's no way you could have said the words you did if you had not been with God. And that's when I learned, oh, Holy Spirit, I can't do anything you've called me to do, but you can do it all. Do you know you all have an impossible mission? I'm gonna say it again, you have an impossible mission. You can't accomplish what he's called you to accomplish. It's impossible. Go and make disciples of all nations, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Impossible. But through relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can do all things. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet here? And I just thought we'd end in some worship here, but I just want to say this, like Holy Spirit, it's more like going on a date with your wife than filling up your tank with gas. And I'm going to call the men. I have learned more about intimacy with the Holy Spirit from my wife than anyone else. I had been baptized in the Spirit. I knew Father's love and I shared the good news with her. And then God had a huge encounter with Jesus. But in the years to come, she started feeling manifestations of Holy Spirit coming on her. She experienced the sweet intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I felt like the Lord's like, Matthew, this is way more relational than you realize. And so how many of you seen, you might be married to a wife who you feel like has a way closer relationship with the Holy Spirit than you do. And I wanna just call you out as I've been called out. Men, it's not filling your car tank with gas. It's a lot more like friendship and being vulnerable and yielding. You know, sometimes when my wife is struggling, you know what she needs? A hug, not a reason, not 20 steps of how to fix everything. And as men, we come to Jesus with our list, what we need to accomplish. And Holy Spirit's like, okay, I'll just stay on the sideline. You and the Father can talk about all the stuff that you need to do, take on the world. But I'd really love to overtake you with my power. And it's a lot more like romance than it is your 10-point agenda. So I'm calling out the men here. Our women lead us. I'm looking around the room, and literally, Lord's highlighting women throughout the room who are examples to me of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So I just say we have powerhouse women. I want to honor the women in this house. There are so, I mean, I'm not going to list you all because I'd be here for another 30 minutes trying to list out all the women who have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit and move in tremendous power. Men, we want the power. We don't seek the power. We seek the Holy Spirit and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The power comes. So I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up right now. And I just want to say this. Later in Luke, it says the power of the Lord was there. Actually, I don't think we're going to end in worship here. If you guys just want to keep playing, I just want to do kind of a call to prayer here if you want prayer. When they prayed for me, I felt the power of God go from my legs all the way up, the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say the power of God is on this team this morning. They are anointed. They are prayed up. They are ready. If you have unforgiveness, shame, unworthiness, particularly, don't be ashamed. Come on up. Jesus wants to touch you this morning. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you've never repented of your sins, turn from your sins and say, I believe you died for me, you forgave me, and I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I want to tell you to come up today. If you're like, I've been saved for a long time, but I've never felt the baptism of the Spirit or experienced Him immersing me, or it's been a long time, you're like, I haven't felt that in 20 years. Jesus wants to meet needs, as was shared earlier. Come on up. And my wife and I are just going to be here in the front, and I would love to just lay hands on some of you if you're like, man, I just believe Holy Spirit's going to touch you, not me. Holy Spirit wants to touch you and just for you to experience an encounter of His love. Sound good? Okay, I just want to pray right now, and then you're dismissed after that. But if you want to come up for prayer, I'll be at the front and others. And let me just pray. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Jesus, I thank you for the abundant life that you bring, that you demonstrated, but then you died so that we could have abundant life with you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are wild, you are not tame, you are powerful. And you make the Father and Jesus real to us. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, a blessing right now. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for just filling hearts right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I know you're here, but come upon and fill hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to get out of the way so that you can take over. We want your way, not our way. Even as we sang earlier, have your way, have your way, have your way. Holy Spirit, I thank you for falling on hearts, souls, and bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We yield to your presence, Holy Spirit. We yield to you this morning. And Father, I just come against all unworthiness and shame and those that feel depleted and worn out. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. I say that spirit is broken now. It is not the portion of sons and daughters of God. And by the authority of Jesus Christ, weariness, go in Jesus' name. Unworthiness, go in Jesus' name. And I declare shame breaking off people right now. Garments of shame and heaviness coming off right now. Thank you, Jesus. I see you touching people right now. In the name of Jesus, shame being broken right now. That go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man or woman breaking off right now by your grace. Because I thank you that you're willing to receive with open arms right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for shame, unworthiness, and fear. If anyone's in fear right now, God, if there's a fearful heart, you say, do not be afraid. And I thank you for perfect love casting out fear right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for perfect love casting out fear in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And Father, I just thank you as we go from here that Holy Spirit, you're always in us and with us. You're just waiting to fill us and overtake us. You're waiting to fill us so you can bless that person at Costco. You're waiting to fill us so you can bless that neighbor walking down the street. You're waiting to fill us for that person who needs an encouraging word or hear the gospel for the first time. So God, I thank you for overflow in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you wouldn't just be in me for my sake, but upon me for their sake. Not just in me for me, but upon me for them in the name of Jesus. So I just bless you all. You are sent out with the Holy Spirit and with fire to fulfill the mission he has for you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow. And come to the front if you need prayer. And we would love to pray for you.